I've spent some time in some monasteries in Thailand and different places in the world, and different traditions. And at some point I found myself at the San Francisco Zen Center, a practitioner of Zen. And they chant the Heart Sutra. I've been hearing a lot of references to the path here, a path that will take us somewhere. And in the Heart Sutra, daily, in the mornings, we would chant, no knowledge, no path, no knowledge, no attainment, with nothing to attain, one attains. Could you help me understand the paths we're talking about here, and as then no path?
Right. Well, I mean, it's a flavor of Zen, certainly. And a flavor of the Heart Sutra is from the Prajnaparamita compilation of teachings. So that this you're looking at sort of say ultimate teachings, and it's really helpful to have those pointers to an ultimate, say, truth or realization. But it's helpful to have some tools, and so that there's a practicality that is say, and I think say San Francisco Zen Center, yes, you chant that sutra every day, and there's a lot of communal practice, and there's a lot of work that gets done, and a lot of so that there's expedient means, and there is a trying to hold it in the right perspective, and not get, because the thing is you can't get lost in one or the other, in that sense of a holding to ultimate truth like one of the epithets of the Buddha, and say in our Pali chanting, vijja jarana sampanno, perfect in knowledge and conduct. And so vijja is like true knowledge, true understanding, and that would say equate to the say the truths of the say the Heart Sutra, and as an expression of the not non-clinging, non-grasping of anything. but then perfect in conduct as well. How do you live it? And it's just so essential to live truth in a way that is, it has this integrity, and 'cause it doesn't make one, just because one is attained to some complete realization, doesn't make one just floating on a cloud of bliss all the time. You actually deal with realities of the human existence, of aging, sickness, death, of contact with the pleasant and the unpleasant. You can't get away from that. Even as a fully awakened Buddha, you still have to deal with the worldly dhammas, praise and blame, gain and loss, the fortune, good fortune, bad fortune, happiness and discomfort. Those are inevitable realities of, as long as we're still breathing in and breathing out. And we're going to experience that. But to be able to hold it in that perspective of non-grasping and non-clinging is really important. But it's sort of like Ajahn Chah thinks that, say, right view is knowing that this is a broken glass. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist and you don't have to deal with it anymore. You still have to deal with it. You still you still have to look after it. So it is important to have that. And of course, its importance is why it's chanted every day in a Zen monastery. I think just the Zen tradition is so practical in terms of, I mean, there's verses for every single little thing that you do in reflection, on contemplation, on the use of the requisites and ordinary things that you're doing in your life.
So I think I'm understanding the pith of what you're saying is that you need some support. And if there's a path there, it's not something that exists that I should grasp for. So it's okay to say no path, but it's okay to use a path as a supportive tool for me to...
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Exactly.